from deep inside your radio.
Well, it's the first broadcast of a new year, and that means absolutely nothing. I just want to put that on the record. But it means more of the same, really, for all of us. Lack of sleep has been blamed for a number of infamous mishaps, from the Chernobyl meltdown to the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. It's a problem that the military takes a keen interest in, since whether or not troops get enough sleep can determine the outcome of a battle, by devising superhuman ways of staying awake for up to 7 straight days and nights. Military officials hope to lend U.S. soldiers a strategic edge in future conflicts, says a statement by the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Eliminating the need for sleep during an operation will create a fundamental change in warfighting and force employment. So, win a war, don't sleep. That's Saddam's probably keeping his soldiers up all night without the technology, just with the bothering and the noise and the thing. Or maybe he's doing as Al Gore did when the demonstrators were around during the Florida countdown and playing earth sounds real loud through the boombox to keep his troops awake. And Dateline Philadelphia, after outcries from the city's mayor and Roman Catholic cardinal, a comic group scrapped its announced parody of the clergy's sexual abuse scandal at yesterday's 102nd Mummers Parade, said George Hirsch, Jr., captain of the group, the Slick Duck Comic Brigade. "We're all good Catholic boys." The Slick Duck Comic Brigade is a small club known for its spoofs of current events, except when it involves, apparently, the Catholic Church. Their parade car still had the theme, "The Devil Made Me Do It," as it breezed by judges at City Hall, but the group's dozen or so performers offered no sex or religion, just rock and roll, as they strutted to the tune of Jailhouse Rock. On Friday, Cardinal Anthony J. Bevilacqua, that's some good Bevilacqua, had called the group's planned sketch, complete with Pope, priests being chased by police officers, and nuns in a go-go cage, quote, "an attack on the Catholic faith." Is that what the Catholics believe in? Mayor John F. Street said he regretted that he could not stop the Duck's routine. "I personally am offended by this and regret that under the Constitution I am limited by what I'm able to do about it," said the mayor. Said John Brown, a Slick Duck member and a self-described very conservative Catholic, quote, "I'm not going to hell for a skit." During the year, many Mummers clubs operate as private liquor clubs. But they're not going to hell for that either. They're not going to hell for drinking. Oh, goodness. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to go to hell for 2 sketches. That's just me. Hello, welcome to the show.
Silence. bad boy in Sweden. Shot full of puss and wolves by a little French maid. And don't win his sister married in a tag team wedding. Sticky like a girl undercover of a Japanese glade. She came from the Cocos Islands. She came from the Cocos Islands.
always take one on the chin. And now this lioness has almost made me tame. I can't pronounce her name, but eggplant is her game. Lady sticks to me like white on rice. She never cooks the same way twice. Maybe it's the mushrooms, maybe the tomatoes. Can't reveal her name, but eggplant is her game. When my baby cooks her eggplant, she don't read no book. She's got a Gioconda kind of dirty look. And my baby cooks her eggplant about 19 different ways. Sometimes I just have it raw with mayonnaise. About 19 different ways. Sometimes I just have it raw with mayonnaise.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the first edition of Le Show for 2003. I've noticed some broadcasters, newscasters, I think in other countries more than this one, have taken all of a sudden to calling this 2003, as if we had some kind of... I missed that memo, whatever it was. Anyway, just a note on the Le Show Dome itself. I guess these have been here for a while now. I just noticed them parked right outside the dome itself. Too big, because there's a construction project going on across the way, don't you know? And so there's these two giant dumpsters, giant gray dumpsters, right outside the dome here. And I just noticed they're surrounded by police tape. That'll keep me out. But what will keep me out is the sign on the dumpsters that says, "Danger Asbestos." So if you need any spare asbestos, there's two big dumpsters full of it right here. It's just nice to walk by the big asbestos-filled dumpster every time you want to do a broadcast for the people. Ladies and gentlemen, advertising is merging ever more with programming. Again, it's really a return to the old days of broadcasting, with the Clico Club Eskimos. Yes, there were such a thing. There was such a thing. Advertisers owned broadcasting back in the old days. And they do again. There are plans to have a beer sponsor for the bar set at the Best Damn Sports Show, period, on Fox Sports. says an executive at Fox. We can do it because our shows are not so much sports as entertainment. That's why it's called the best damn sports show, period. It's because it's not a sports show, you see. There aren't any laws about that, I guess. Some television programmers, according to the New York Times, are pushing verisimilitude even when sponsors are not paying the bill. Lost at Home, a new ABC comedy about an advertising executive, will use real brands throughout the show without receiving compensation. Yeah, until it's a hit. And then something will change, you see. Don't you think? The Best Damn Sports Show has had commercial tie-ins for quite a long time. Last June, Levi Strauss paid for an actor who was featured in a commercial for its Docker pants to appear on the show in a skit with the hosts. Are the hosts going to hell for that skit? No. They're going to Levi's. The show also features food prepared by the Outback Steakhouse, which regularly brings meals into the show for the cast. Says the Fox executive, quote, certain advertisers' brands marry and fit within the Fox brands. It has to be something that feels right. Of the deal with Labatt's to put a bar in the show, he says, quote, it just felt right to have a bar in the show. It's feelings. It's all about feelings. You know, you guys with the numbers and everything, over at Fox, it's all about feelings. Bad feelings, but feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, the credibility of President Bush's multi-billion-dollar missile defense plans are being questioned by leading scientists after claims that the results of key tests were falsified. This comes just days before Israel conducted a test of its own missile interception system, reportedly successful. But this is reportedly fraudulent. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology is considering an investigation into accusations that fundamental flaws in the proposed missile defense system have been covered up. The criticism is led by Theodore Postol. He's going postal, that's right. A physicist and missile defense critic at MIT who said the Institute is sitting on what is potentially, quote, the most serious fraud that we've seen at a great American university. After months of refusing to investigate the affair, Ed Crawley, the chairman of MIT's Aeronautics and Astronautics Department, has recommended an investigation. Dr. Postol and fellow critics say the ability of the interceptor missile to distinguish between an incoming warhead and decoys is deeply suspect. Any such doubts would cripple the credibility of the system. Such questions date back to mid-1997 when TRW was accused by one of its employees, Naira Schwartz, of faking test results on a prototype anti-missile sensor that is meant to distinguish warheads from decoys. The company and its system was given an all-clear by the Lincoln Lab, not Lincoln Logs, Lincoln Lab, a federally funded research center at MIT. Subsequently, the General Accounting Office, an investigative arm of Congress, accused TRW of exaggerating the performance of the sensors, saying its conclusions had been, quote, highly misleading. Critics say MIT's independence is compromised by its interest in maintaining hundreds of millions of dollars in annual government contracts. Hey, we're all in the take. Dr. Postol has written to 20 members of Congress saying MIT's reluctance to investigate may indicate an attempt to conceal evidence of criminal violations. Postol is the same guy who challenged the Pentagon's claims for the success of the Patriot missile during the Gulf War, saying they had intercepted few, if any, Scuds. Despite initial ridicule, his assertion is now accepted. And, from the Washington Post, when United Nations weapon inspectors were allowed into Iraq after the Gulf War, they compiled long lists of chemicals, missile components, and computers from American suppliers, including such household names as Union Carbide and Honeywell, which were being used for military purposes. A 1994 investigation by the Senate Banking Committee turned up dozens of biological agents. I have a biological agent. Well, he's reportedly alive. No, biological, you know what I mean. Biological warfare agents, let's put it that way, shipped to Iraq during the mid-80s under license from the Commerce Department, U.S., including various strains of anthrax, subsequently identified by the Pentagon as a key component of the Iraqi biological warfare program. The Commerce Department also approved the export of insecticides to Iraq, despite widespread suspicions they were being used for chemical warfare. U.S. export controls to Iraq were tightened up in the late 80s. There were still many loopholes. In December 88, Dow Chemical sold $1.5 million worth of pesticides to Iraq, despite U.S. government concerns they could be used as chemical warfare agents. An Export-Import Bank official reported in a memorandum he could find, quote, no reason to stop the sale, despite evidence the pesticides were highly toxic to humans and could cause death from asphyxiation. That's, you know, but that was the old days. That was another Bush. Another Bush, another time. Hey, the same record industry that is clamoring to make it harder for you, Mr. and Mrs. Music Consumer, to enjoy your music where you like, let's say on your computer, oh, you pirate. The same record industry has come under withering attack from the British police for glamorizing firearms. Record companies that market rap music to young people have flatly refused to cooperate with the London Metropolitan Police in tackling teenage attitudes, Assistant Commissioner Tariq Ghafoor revealed, blaming a backdrop of music for influencing alienated young men. This, they're having a new concern in Britain about guns after the fatal shooting of two teenage girls caught in the crossfire between rival gangs outside a New Year's Eve party in Birmingham. What we would call Birmingham, it's Birmingham. Ghafoor, the police official, singled out the influence of often violent rap music which glamorizes gun culture. These are young men at an impressionable age lacking maturity and boundaries, he said, accusing record companies of hiding behind artists' contractual arrangements and refusing to release their stars for anti-gun campaigns. He said guns were fashion statements for the young. Yet among artists approached by police to front anti-gun campaigns, only one, Ms. Dynamite, agreed. So, watch out for those record companies, ladies and gentlemen. That's always good advice. And now, an exclusive feature of this broadcast, the Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
Not a what would you say would be a bumper crop. Maybe last year really was the year of the apology. And we're going to have a slump, an apology slump. Dateline, West Virginia. The spoof about the lack of indoor plumbing was bad enough, say West Virginia University football fans, and a reference to a similar lack of birth control was no better. But last Saturday during halftime of the Continental Tire Bowl, who knew, a University of Virginia pep band that has made a habit of making fun of West Virginians finally went too far in the eyes of those from that state. The band portrayed a West Virginia University student in bib overalls, with or without shoes, depending on who tells the story. And in the days since, hundreds of angry comments have flowed by phone and email to both schools. Even West Virginia Governor Bob Wise stepped into the fray. On Monday, he fired off a letter to University of Virginia President John Castine, calling the performance classless. This type of performance merely perpetuates the unfounded stereotypes that we in West Virginia are finding so hard to overcome, the governor wrote. The organizers of the Continental Tire Bowl, the city of Charlotte, and most especially the people of the state of West Virginia deserve an apology for this unfortunate incident. The University of Virginia apologized. The performance unfolded before approximately 75,000 fans who filled Erickson Stadium. Hey, why don't we just sell naming rights to West Virginia? The student-led pep band staged a parody of the reality show The Bachelor, in which a male had his choice of two female contestants, one from West Virginia University and the other from Virginia. Well, it's going to be a tough choice for our bachelor deciding between these two bachelorettes, read the script recited by a stadium announcer. It described the Virginia student as being bound for medical school with plans to be a pediatrician. It said the West Virginia University student will be heading out to California, out to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars, a reference to the TV show The Beverly Hillbillies. The band director said the West Virginia University student was not barefoot, contrary to some accusations, and she didn't have her teeth blacked out or anything, he said. Some called it an incredible overreaction. A Virginia University spokesperson said the university plans to investigate the matter. We're sorry this incident occurred. We respect our colleagues at WVU and the citizens of West Virginia. Administrators want to review a videotape before deciding what action is warranted. I know that the script was approved by our promotions department. I think it's one thing to read a script and another thing to see it acted out, said the spokeswoman. Humor, she concluded, is such a subjective thing. Yeah, you don't want to go to hell for it. That's for sure. The White House and the Republican National Committee not quite apologizing. A California Republican is expressing regret. Bill Back, the vice chairman of the California Republican Party, who's running for the chairmanship, sent out an email newsletter 4 years ago that copied an essay that said history might have taken a better turn if the South had won the Civil War, and that the real damage to race relations in the South came not from slavery, but from Reconstruction, which would not have occurred if the South had won. That's a quote. In a statement, Bill Back, the vice chairman of the California Republican Party, said, quote, upon reflection, I should have been more sensitive regarding issues raised in this piece and not included it in the email. I regret any pain and offense taken by readers. He said he strongly disagrees with the article. Police in Northwest China have made a rare apology to a man they surprised at home and dragged to jail for watching porno videos with his wife. The case, reported widely by Chinese newspapers, prompted intense debate among Chinese about privacy. We're very guilty for the pain we have caused. We're apologizing to you now, said a police official in the city of Yan'an. Authorities said they would reprimand the officers responsible. Four officers burst into the house Zhang Lei shared with his wife and parents on August 18th to confiscate pornographic videos after a tip. The police tried to take Zhang's video player and television as well, resulting in a brawl with family members. Authorities hauled Zhang and his father to jail for spreading pornography and obstructing justice. Both were released the next day after the family paid $121. After his release, Zhang's family hired a lawyer to sue the police. You can sue the police in China? Talk about burying the lead. You can sue the police in China. The two sides settled out of court earlier this week. Authorities, bowing to growing media and public pressure, had also agreed to give Zhang about 30 times the money he paid them and to issue the formal apology. State media did not say what happened to the videos. And in Tallahassee, Florida, political writer Bill Cotterill has been suspended from the Tallahassee Democrat for sending offensive email to a reader. 1 week suspension is without pay. In a statement, executive editor John Miller said, on behalf of the Tallahassee Democrat, I apologize to all of our readers, and most especially to readers and members of the Islamic faith everywhere, for the intemperate email comments of political writer Bill Cotterill. They absolutely do not represent the views and sensitivities of this newspaper. Cotterill also apologized, saying his comments were grossly inappropriate. He's a veteran reporter with 35 years in the business. His email responded to a reader upset with a cartoon by Doug Marlette that many thought was insulting to Muslims. The cartoon appeared briefly on the paper's website, but wasn't even published in the paper. In his response, Cotterill criticized most Arab nations for not, quote, getting over, unquote, the creation of Israel and making peace. Quote, okay, they can squat around the camel dung fire and grumble about it, they can put their bottoms in the air 5 times a day and pray for deliverance. That's their business, he wrote in his email. And I don't give a damn if Israel kills a few in collateral damage while defending itself. So be it. Unquote. He's apologized for that. Outburst, ladies and gentlemen. The apologies of the week. If it weren't a copyrighted feature of this program, it would have to be. And now for another copyrighted feature. I was Tales of Airport Security. I was in Los Angeles International Airport this week to bear witness to the beginning of the new program for inspecting checked baggage. I don't know if you've seen any reports about how this is being done. But let's just say there's obviously no way to hold dress rehearsals in an airport. So on New Year's Day, that was the dress rehearsal. Let's hope it was. So they've got all these guys from a company Oh, APS? It's not the Transportation Safety Administration. That's the government guys. But there's this whole new crew of people from, I think, a company called APS or an agency called APS. No explanation of who or what it is. And the big X-ray machines that are looking at, at the checked baggage, they're not back where they take the baggage after you check it in. It's out front, at least at the international terminal. So they check, they put your baggage through the X-ray and then separate you from it. And you stand in line to check in, and your baggage that's been through the X-ray machine sits in a big line 20, 30 feet away from you, waiting until you get to the check-in point, at which point you then have to identify your baggage without touching it. And a couple guys from APS stand guard over the baggage as it sits in a line, in an ever-growing line, in the middle of a public terminal. That's airport security, ladies and gentlemen. Now from a listener, dear Harry, I make it a habit to carry a flask of whiskey when traveling the skies. Since 9/11, I've had to do various things with the whiskey at security check-in, including leaving behind the flask. On a recent flight from Texas to L.A., I and my trusty Sour Mash stepped up to the X-ray machine. They passed through all my carry-on except my bag with the flask in it. Preparing to discard it, I followed the security person to the desk where he wanted to inspect my bag. He asked me if I had a pair of pliers in my bag. I remembered then that I had packed a set of Texan nutshellers that had been given to me as a gift. As he searched for the zipper on my bag, the guy ran his hand over the flask. When he opened the case, he pulled out my box of oversized pliers with removable teeth. I murmured, "Christmas present." He put the box back in my bag. He searched my socks and underwear. Then he closed the bag and sent me, my weapon, and Mr. Beam on our way. Tales of Airport Security. An exclusive feature of Le Show.
suffer all the day. I just sit and wonder if love isn't one big blunder. But when you hold me tight, tingling all through, I feel somehow I was doing all right. But I'm doing better than
from CPR, Continental Public Radio, this is At Loggerheads. Diametrically symmetrical views on an issue of bifurcated contention. Today, which is more dangerous, Iraq or North Korea? On the left, Casey Kasem. On the right, Dick Clark.
First, Casey, Happy New Year from the guy who practically owns it. Second, maybe it will actually be a happy new year if we make it the year that we rid the earth of a little menace by the name of Saddam Hussein. And take it from me, we'll all own that. Why Saddam, of all the bad people in the world, Casey, it's as obvious as a People's Choice winner. Here's a guy who's used poison gas on his own people. Sure, they were Kurds and he's an Arab, but they're still his people. Every bit as much as the kid with the turban who works in my office is my people. He's attacked two of his neighbors, so Casey, if you don't want to send the army there, how about Neighborhood Watch? Seriously, Hussein without nuclear weapons is a bigger threat than Kim Jong-il with them, simply because unlike the leader of North Korea, this guy can't be bought off. Hey, for the kids in the audience, let's boil it down even more. He can't stay bought off. Unfortunately, that's what keeps him looking young. So, Casey, it's okay to keep your feet on the ground, but it's more important to keep your eye on the ball. Nothing sends a stronger message to North Korea than the sight of an American victory in Iraq that's shorter than a hit single. You might not be able to dance to it, but I give it a 99. Casey?
Dick, when Saddam Hussein goes to bed each night, he dreams of being Kim Jong-il. A guy who can scare his neighbors without having to invade them. You know who he is, Dick? He's the guy next door that plays his stereo too loud and makes you think he might be a little bit cuckoo. By comparison, Saddam Hussein is a day under the sweetheart tree. Containing him is like counting down hit records. It's been working for years, so why change it? Besides, Hussein only invaded his neighbors after we encouraged him to. So maybe, before bombing him into the fourth dimension, we should have a little talk with ourselves. North Korea is the real thing, Dick. A desperate country with nukes to sell, and they're willing and able to wheel and deal like a Buick salesman in mid-August. When it comes to confronting North Korea, Japan and China have been missing in action longer than Oasis. And we're spending all our time and attention not on the guy who just kicked out the UN inspectors, but the guy who's welcoming them in. Talk about your monkey business. Dick, don't get me wrong. Saddam Hussein is not a nice guy. I know. I happen to be Lebanese. But if we're going to go around getting rid of every bad leader in the world, we're going to be involved with a whole lot of countries and at least five networks. I don't mind keeping my feet on the ground and my eye on the ball, Dick. Just as long as my head's not up my ass. From the left, I'm Casey Kasem.
From the right, I'm Dick Clark. And here's one idea we don't go to war with.
It's great to be
At Loggerheads.
At Loggerheads is made possible with the Possibility Grant from the Business Foundation. Business. We're not as crooked as you think. Listen next time when another pair of finely matched opinions meets where the arguments are. At Loggerheads. Right and left designation for entertainment purposes only. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
down beside the Dardanella Bay, where oriental breezes play. There lives a lonesome maid Armenian by the Dardanelles with gleaming eyes. She looks across the sea and sighs, and weaves her love song so serene. Soon I return to Turkestan. I will ask her for her heart and hand. Yeah. Oh, sweet Dardanelle, I love your harem eyes. I'm a lucky fella to capture such a prize. You know, Allah knows my love for you. He tells you to be true. Dardanella, hear my sigh. Oh, sweet Dardanella, prepare the wedding wine. You know, there'll be one girl in my harem when you're mine. I got an idea. We'll build a tent just like the children of the Orient. Oh, sweet Dardanelle, my star of love divine.
Now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry King, live from Washington, D.C. Now, here's Larry King, live.
We're in our nation's capital tonight. We're going to be hosting the Myocardial Infarction Foundation's annual Clean Artery Ball. Tomorrow night, John and Patsy Ramsey for the full hour answering your calls about life since JonBenet. Tonight we got something kind of different. In our Geneva studio is Curel, head of the Curelian Brotherhood, a worldwide religion that claims more than 2 million adherents and believes in human cloning. And to help me question him, partly because of all her expertise and things like this, and also because of our new cross-plugging arrangement in our New York studio tonight, the great Connie Chung.
Good evening, Larry.
I'm looking forward to only having to think up half the questions.
I'm sure you'll do the thinking for both of us, Larry.
Connie, you've just come from taping an interview that's extraordinary even by your standards.
That's right, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Yeah, we'll be with you in just a second, Curel.
As I was saying, I just taped a segment for tomorrow night with a remarkable little girl who kidnapped herself. It's a pretty shocking story.
Yeah. you know it's shocking, Connelly? They changed the pickles at Nate Nell's.
Am I on? Can they hear me?
Curiel,
yes.
This is Connie Chung in New York. You've just announced you've entered the human cloning derby.
No, Connie, it's not a derby. It's not a race. It's not a competition. It's our mission on this planet. That's all. We must clone to live. Life without cloning is like a meal without wine.
Curel, this is Larry King in Washington. As I understand it, you're claiming to have cloned hundreds of human beings in the last 5 years.
Larry, I'm a prophet, spelled with a P-H. I'm merely a messenger in a continuously expanding universe. We must clone ourselves just in order to keep up. But the actual cloning has been done by a completely separate enterprise, a clonique.
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 Yes, yes. It is even domiciled in a completely different continent from the Brotherhood.
Kirel, cloning is difficult enough, according to most science writers.
Well...
But you claim to have also leaped the accelerated growth barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean some of your clones are walking around the rest of us here?
That was going to be my...
Yes, yes. The new slimmed-down Al-Rokar?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That is one of ours.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, good question.
It made me feel that we are coming closer to the time of true enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
When there will be many different versions of your body walking around, and your memories and experiences can transfer from one of them to the other at will. The way we change clothes today...
So there'd be a me walking around that had only 3 heart attacks.
Mm-hmm. Ideally.
You know, critics say that this would spell the end of normal human society.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make you want to think twice about what you're doing?
Connie, I've thought about it quite a bit more than twice.
20 times?
Oh, many more. And these aren't just thoughts, Connie. These are revelations. That is really the equivalent of 2.5 normal thoughts.
Kirel, any of your clones taken DNA tests to prove their clonehood?
Larry, mm-hmm. DNA tests are for criminals and reluctant fathers. We are doing something much more profound here. Something touched, dare I say it, with pixie dust.
Can I ask you a question about your appearance? Your hair is very sparse,
mm-hmm.
and yet you still have your topknot.
Connie, I am not so much interested in matters of the surface. Mm-hmm. A topknot, a ponytail, what is the difference, really? An inch or two? Mm-hmm. My project in all things is to amplify the messages I receive from Kirel.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, you know, the producers told me you were Kirel. You know, I knew this two-anchor thing wasn't going to...
Not this again.
I am the earthly Kirel, messenger of the astral Kirel.
Okay, as long as you're some kind of Kirel.
At your service.
Kirel,
yes.
If you had one message for us tonight, what would it be?
Pretty much what I've been saying for the last little while, Connie.
The great Connie Chung in New York, and in Geneva, Kirel.
Larry, this was fun.
This was fun for me as well. Thank you both.
Friday of this week, the former Posh Spice.
And I'll have an exclusive one-on-one with Jimmy Kimmel.
From Washington, good night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to put the kibosh on this week's edition of the show. The program will return next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR Worldwide. Hey, you're not supposed to be talking. I'll be talking here on NPR Worldwide throughout Europe. Did I say that? On the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the Armed Forces Network, American Forces Network. I'm thrown by a guy talking under me. On shortwave all up and down the East Coast through the power of WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz. Across North America via Sirius satellite radio, channel 147. And around the world on your computer whenever you want it. At two locations, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. I'll be all right. And it'd be just like getting reunited with your checked baggage. After all, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much, The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. That's also the address to write to if you want to be included on our mailing list for a very occasional email newsletter about things possibly of interest to listeners of this broadcast. The show, Internet Services by Steve Mack. I'm going to go spend the week looking for brands to marry the Fox brand. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.